Henry Evans studio here at the ABC in Ultimo for another edition of Thank God It's Friday. I'm Richard Glover, and please welcome our panel. It's Will Anderson, Tommy Dean, and Jennifer Wong. With the music, it's the Soul Movers, ladies and gentlemen. And our audience this week from Old Bar, Girildery, Tea Gardens, Wollongong, Merriweather, and Sawtell. But first, as always, here is the news from nowhere. I have a new book out called Best Wishes. It's 365 wishes for a better world. And this is wish 169. I wish to never again go shopping with my loved one. Just recently, Jocasta's birthday was looming and I needed to buy her a present. Her solution, we'd go shopping for clothes and I'd help her choose something. For some reason, I thought, that sounds like fun. If I had some ominous music available, this is the point I'd hit play. We drove towards an outlet centre. Jocasta said, I just want something that's not too pricey but looks classy, that's a bit different but not pretentious, pretty but not girly, mature without being ageing. That's all I want. If I had additional ominous music, I'd throw it in here. At the outlet centre, we entered the clothes shop closest to the entrance. Jocasta stood before the racks, flicking through the offerings, rolling her eyes. Occasionally, she laughed. I received the message. She was affronted. The retailer was even offering such ridiculous and limiting choices. There's nothing here, she said. Nothing at all. I grabbed an item off the nearest rack. This is nice, I said, presenting a knitted wool top, attractively covered with tiny sparkles. Jocasta widened her eyes with horror. It's a cardigan with bling. Let's move on. We moved on. The next shop was a bit boho or cottagecore or prairie chic. Don't ask me. I was so out of my depth I needed help from the stars of Bondi Rescue. Jocasta once again attacked the racks. Bang, bang, bang. According to her, they don't fit. Plus, they show off your armpits. Plus, they're ribbed. Plus, they have puffy sleeves. She confided, puffy sleeves are not my friend. I decided to offer more advice. What about this one, I said, proffering a rustic frock with broad pockets and a charmingly prominent white collar. Perfect, replied Jocasta, but only if I were working as a milkmaid in an Amish dairy. Luckily, the third shop was much groovier. You should get into this stuff, I said. You'd look terrific. Jocasta touched my arm and looked into my eyes. Do you know who I am? Have you even ever met me? Fourth store, Jocasta wouldn't consider a single garment. Luckily, the sales assistant was particularly insistent, ignoring her, I'm just looking, thanks, and pressing a clingy cape onto Jocasta's shoulders. The shop lady stood back, appraised Jocasta, and judged the result to be terrific. Jocasta said, I don't think it's for me, peeled the cape off her shoulders and made good her escape. The shop assistant was nice, I said, once I'd caught up. Nice? Maybe, said Jocasta, although there's a fine line between good sales technique and a physical assault. We attended more stores. Flip, flip, flip. Jocasta made short work of the offerings. She then turned her mind to the fashion industry more generally. Why can't they make things for women like me? We have money, you know. Some people don't want to show off their armpits. Are we not people too? At this point, I felt like I was shopping for dresses with Vladimir Lenin, and it was time for the speech at the Finland station. Revolution was in the air. Jocasta had the fashion industry in her sights, and like the Romanovs, the best they could hope for was a quick death. I grabbed a top from a nearby rack. This looks nice, I said in a voice that admittedly lacked conviction. Jocasta said, do you even have eyes in your head? We mooched out of the shop. Let's give up, said Jocasta, dragging her feet like a miserable 10-year-old. Who cares about fancy clothes anyway, she said. I never go anywhere. She then sighed. It was a long sigh containing within it all the annoyances of the world. I repeat my wish. men should not be required to go clothes shopping with their partners. Just hand over a voucher and be done with it. And that's Wish, what was it, 169. And the news from nowhere. Thank you. Will Anderson is here, Tommy Dean and Jennifer Wong. Welcome.
I am. I'm also very excited this week because the launch of my latest cover quote on a book also appears this week. I'm very excited. Yeah. You should all go out and get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Tommy's given me a cover quote. As is,
I'm a cover quote on the 365 wishes, which is weird.
What does the cover quote say, though?
It said, I should have made a better wish. Like, I can't believe that was my wish. You have one wish. I want to be a cover quote on Richard Glover's book.
I wish I'd demanded royalties before I gave him the cover quote.
No, I should have just said, I want the foreword. That's what I should have said.
You should have said.
Next book, give me the forward.
I'll give you the forward. Now let's check you up with this week's news. Who said no to yes, but also no to no when it comes to dressing to a T?
I think I can handle this one because I'm an ABC employee. Like Richard, we have to be very careful when we talk about this topic. Obviously, it's balance. In regard to the referendum, it was explained to me that I can answer the question, have I already voted? Yes. But I cannot answer the question, have I already voted yes? So if I vote yes, Adam Hills has to vote no. That's how it works at the ABC. B1 is a yes, B2 is a no. But you have to be very careful what you wear into the booth because you're not allowed to wear a political slogan into the...
That's what the Australian Electoral Commission ruled this week. Yeah.
Right. So I wore a... I'm just a big fan of Optus, the telco. So I wore their one, and I actually am a big fan of the Beatles and one of their songs, but it had to be blanked out, so it just said Turday. So that's what I had to do.
You'd be a big fan of the band Yes, too, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm a big fan, but I also have to say I'm a big fan of the band No.
So apparently, this goes for ordinary elections, so you're not allowed to take any material that tries to convince anyone of how they should vote into the booth.
Mm-hmm. It's tricky, though, because what if you just stood in line at your polling place and nodded dramatically? That'd be one. And then what if slogans are, like, just slightly off, like, could be implied? Like, what if I was wearing my Nike shirt and it said, just do it? Yeah. And you were like, well, that sounds like a yes. Is it? Not quite sure.
It's a no.
Yeah. I think we forget how powerful T-shirts can be, especially if you've ever stood next to someone wearing a T-shirt that says, I'm with stupid. I also know that things like this can be misconstrued. Like when I was 12, I had a T-shirt that said classic. And I put a jacket over it the first day I wore it. And realised I'd been walking around like an ass all day.
Which is classic.
Which is classic, Jen, yes. So be careful.
Who's been accused this week of offering trumped-up figures?
Mm. Oh, this is the story of Donald Trump, who's exaggerated how much his properties are worth. He's done this in order to defraud lending institutions. And I think he's done a lot of bad things, a lot of dishonest things. I mean, not every president has a mugshot, but I think exaggerating how much a property is worth, I don't think he's really done anything wrong here. I think this is a very, very humanizing quality. He's just taken a playbook out of the Sydney real estate market to exaggerate how much a property is worth. It's no different to a real estate agent taking a camera and using a wide lens to take a photo of a living room when it's actually a 1 meter patch of carpet between the toilet and the bedroom. So it's a very humanizing quality. I think it makes him the everyman, really.
He's not only exaggerated in some cases, the physical size of the apartment is three times what it actually is.
Well, why are we surprised by this bit, though? Because, like, he's actually, his own physical size he's lied about. He's lied about the size of the crowd that was at his inauguration. He's lied about how many people voted for him in the last election and whether he won or not. Why are we surprised by this? I just hope when the judge convicts him, he uses the same mathematics and says, well, it's 2 years, but we're going to give you 8.
Is there a possibility that he has some sort of condition we don't understand? Like, given that he is universally lied about everything financially and size-wise, maybe that's just how he sees the world. Is it possible that he's not lying?
Yeah, maybe he's just Texan.
He's just incredibly wrong. Yeah. He's just like, what? Like, some people just, like, you know, I think all men have a sense of that condition. That when we stand in front of a mirror, we're like, looking pretty good. And then somebody takes a picture, and you see the picture, and you're like, wait a minute, the mirror. What's wrong with my mirror? Or is it me?
It's why women, Australian women aren't good at mathematics, isn't it?
Because it's so true.
Always being told that 10 inches is inches is 10 inches, right?
That's why we cannot let them park. We cannot let them park. But it's dangerous times. It's curious. It's just really, really, he's the biggest oddity, I think, of this century.
Mm. Well, he would say he's bigger than that.
Very good. Who is all ears when it comes to noise? Who is all ears when it comes to noise?
I actually love this story. This is a story of New York City, which has installed noise cameras in parts of Manhattan. So they take photos when a noise is detected, which is at least 85 decibels. And if you're wondering how loud 85 decibels is, it's actually as loud as a blender. So long-term exposure can lead to hearing loss, which means we should all really spare a thought for everyone who works at Boost Juice. They are putting their bodies on the line every day so that you can get a frappe. It turns out Boost is actually short for boost the volume of my hearing aid when I'm 70. So, yeah.
But this is pretty tough, isn't it? So every time you make a noise, whether it's a roaring motorcycle or a leaf blower, it'll take a picture of you or your license plate, and they'll fine you.
Mm. Yeah, but this isn't going to stop people, is it? Like, people love getting their photo taken these days. This is going to encourage this.
Especially in New York City.
It's going to be fast, furious, and fabulous.
Yeah. But you think it'll also set up, like, I could, like, stooge you. Mm. Like, if I just knew that you happened to come past a part of the, you know, came through that intersection every day on your way to work, and I'm like, oh, Will Anderson's on my nerves. And then every time you walk by, I'd just be like, blender!
I mean, I think it should be the opposite. Every time someone stops for a selfie somewhere, they shouldn't have a selfie. A loud horn should go off.
Are you noise sensitive, you three? Are you worried about noises in your neighbourhood? You don't like it? Do you mind it?
Well, I can't usually hear over my lawn blower. So from what I can tell, my neighbourhood is pretty quiet. And my walks are amazingly clear.
Yeah. Good. Well, you live in nature, so you live in this beautiful, bucolic, silent rainforest idyll.
Sure, I guess so. Look, I'm more worried at silence at my gigs, to be honest, than I am at home. I've got to be honest with that. But no, I grew up in the country, so I must admit that I am used to the sounds of nature. Like, when you grow up on a dairy farm, like, the cows like to make a bit of noise at night. And so, like, that, I, you know, there is still a sense of me. You know, some people have that white noise machine that goes to, like, puts them to bed. I just, like, occasionally, if I can't sleep, somebody to come up and whisper,
and they make more noise in the morning when they want to be milked.
But I think it also helps with the sense of community. Like, if they put soft runners on wheelie bins. Mm. You know, if I didn't hear the neighbors dragging the bins out, how would I know it's bin night? And that's what I hear, like, what the hell is that? Oh, my God, it's bin night!
We have Will, Tommy, and Jennifer.
Sorry, I know that we don't normally comment straight away, but I would just like to say that I think there's a little bit too much being made of the story that Donald Trump shared submarine capabilities
with Anthony Pratt.
Yeah. Because if you think about it, you know what Donald Trump would have been like. He'd be like, can you believe it? They go under the water.
You're right.
And they're on top of the water, and then they're under it. I know. No way!
I mean, based on the fact that Trump was involved in it, we've been talking about there being 20 of these submarines. There's probably like four. And I love the idea, too, that we think that 20 submarines is enough to protect a country as big as Australia. Like, I mean, literally China could invade Australia with the kids who played drums at the opening ceremony of the Beijing Olympics. We're getting the band back together, guys.
Now, a new dating show, Love Triangle, asks people to choose their partner by sharing written messages but not seeing each other. Another, Naked Attraction, which none of us have seen, have we? No, because it's wrong to watch it, so none of us have seen it. Naked Attraction lets them see each other, in fact, naked, but not communicate. When it comes to choosing a partner, which of your senses and skills are the most useful and which could be jettisoned? Will Anderson.
I'd like a dating show that only uses the sixth sense. So, like, some people are like, I see men, other people are like, I see women, and someone else is like, I see dead people. And basically, they're like, are you compatible? We're going to go to the board, the Ouija board. Hosted by John Edward, he communes with the dead. That's how you pick your partner. That's what I would like to see.
Jennifer, which are the most useful and useless of skills when it comes to dating?
Well, I've thought about this, and the dating show that I would like to see actually is one called Travel Troubles, to test your emotional intelligence. So basically the person that you might be dating wakes up in the morning and they've missed their flight, and then there's traffic on the way to the airport. They get to the airport and the check-in machines are completely, like, you know, broken. By the time they get their luggage tag, they can't peel the sticker off, you know, and you just see at what point they start to have a breakdown.
In this list of disasters, what's next? Oh, they find their flying Qantas?
in a middle seat. Just, you know, I want to see at the end of this 24 hours if they're laughing, smiling or crying. I think if they're laughing, that would be a bit weird. Maybe smiling would be a good outcome. And also in terms of skills, I would like if they could play Scrabble very well.
Okay, this is like really stress testing the partnership.
Yeah.
Tommy, what do you think?
I think the mistake that dating shows make is it always celebrates the beginning when everything is magic and new and exciting. Yeah. I want a show that brings two people together, but then thrusts them straight into the middle slash near end of their relationship. And where they have to get to know each other through apologies, compromises. And then for the big final showdown, what songs they would ask a late night radio show host to play in a love song dedication.
To make up for all they've done.
To make up for all the things that they've done wrong. I think that would be an amazingly good show.
What are we calling it? Any idea?
Come on, Eileen. That song saves every relationship. Every relationship I've ever been in trouble with. This dedication's going out. Sandra, if you're out there anywhere, Tommy says he is very sorry. And he just has this one song that I think says everything you need to know. Come on, Eileen, by Dexy's Midnight Runners.
My friend Charlie hates that song because his mum's name is Eileen.
Do you think this would be a good idea for a show, though, Will? The idea of the show really is a breakup show rather than a dating show.
Well, I mean, I do like Tommy's idea of you just put people into the circumstances that are most likely to tear them apart. I think that's fun. It's like you're on a dating island and they suddenly just bring in your teenage children. Yeah. So, here you go, deal with this. Tommy's having a lot of trouble at school. Work it out, guys.
The horror. Thank God it's Friday. Are you ready for the Wheel of Death, ladies and gentlemen? With Will Anderson taking it on for the very first time, although I think he has done a little bit in impro in his life. The topics, as suggested by our lovely audience here at the ABC and Ultimo, are as follows. Weeds, buskers, mega, is that right? Tigers, ODI, jinx, Matildas, wallabies, rhubarb, toys, bed bugs, hotel room, golden. And we're skinks and we're back to weeds. Which ones fill you full of fear, Will?
I'm not really sure. Mega. I don't really know what I would do with mega. I assume that's making England great again.
Making Estonia great again, yeah. I think it was actually. But anyway, let's spin it round and round and round it goes. Where it stops, no one knows. Today's topic for Mr. Will Anderson on the Wheel of Death is... I put too much WD-40 in this, didn't I? Golden. Who suggests golden? Thank you very much.
It
lovely.
Is a couple down the front. I would like to say thank you very much for coming along. It is, in fact, the golden anniversary of the couple down the front, whose names are, of course...
Alan and Lorraine.
Alan and Lorraine. And...
but they're both only 21. How can they be having a...
It's time travel. So thank you very much for inviting me here to speak at Alan and Lorraine's golden anniversary. They obviously have got me because they couldn't afford Adam Hills. But it was very nice to be the gift for 50 years celebrated by a free show. at the ABC. So really an indication into this relationship. And I appreciate that you've put yourself up on the board, got this speech. Probably, I've got to say, not just a celebration of the last 50 years, but probably the celebration of the last year of the relationship. So I'm not sure if it's Alan or Lorraine who's going to go first, but my money's on Alan. So I feel like this might be Alan's last year. Lorraine, I think, has got some good years left. I think the Lorraines are going to go to Spain and you fall mainly on the plane. So it's lovely to have you both here. Where did you come from, of course?
Gerildery.
I can't rhyme anything with that, unfortunately. But it is lovely to have you here from Gerildery. What do you do in Gerildery?
I'm retired.
You're retired. What did you retire from, Alan?
I was a mailman.
You were a mailman. And, of course, Lorraine was a female person. So it's good to have a male man and a female person here together. I imagine one day you delivered something to Lorraine, a little special package. She opened up the door. The mail was delivered, and it was delivered on time, surprisingly. No return address, and it was good to see that little package arrived 9 months later. And how many packages did you deliver to Lorraine?
Two.
Nice. Well, that's good. She's now actually in a relationship with a guy from the Amazon. So that's a whole different thing, but you've retired, and that's a whole different thing. So it's good to see for a postman that you actually made it here on time, Alan. So that's also a remarkable day, the fact that the two of you have come. And Lorraine, what about you? What did you do with yourself, Lorraine?
I'm a medical receptionist.
You're a medical receptionist, and are you still a medical receptionist, Lorraine? And when you were a medical receptionist, when somebody came in with a particular weird disease, did you have to hide the look on your face, Lorraine? Did you have to occasionally go, oh, yeah, it's about this lump on my face? And Lorraine, you're like, I know it's a lump on your face. In fact, is that how you met Alan, Lorraine? Did he come one day with a little lump that he needed to get removed? Anyway, so I have also spoken at their bronze anniversary, their silver anniversary. I am available for the diamond anniversary. It has been so nice to be part of it. Is this how we do the Wheel of Death?
Does he die or does he live? He lives on, thank God, it's Friday.
Well, they won't come again. In the UK, they are going to ban anyone born after January 2009, in effect anyone who's 14 or younger now, to ever be allowed to buy cigarettes. Here's my question. What other things should young people be banned from doing? Will.
Reading about climate change. Ban them from all information. It's not going to make them happy. If they actually read about, if they read any IPCC reports, they will want to take up smoking. So,
if you ban them from reading it, they'll want to, you know, the rebellious spirit of the teenager, they'll be more likely to read it.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Do you think, like we're just like, we won't tell you about climate change, so teenagers are suddenly going to be sneaking out of the house to pass around IPCC reports?
Yeah.
But see, this is my argument. This is why I think it's a dangerous mistake, because we need teenagers to smoke to realize how terrible it is, so we can point out science has been telling us that for a long time. Science has been right for a long time. They got the smoking thing right. They got the climate change thing right.
Okay,
right. Oh, yeah, okay. It's a good example.
That's a very good example.
Yeah.
And because climate change is so right, you don't want to live that long anyway. Enjoy yourself and look cool.
I think we shouldn't ban things with teenagers. I mean, it's such a beautiful experimental time. You know, everyone who's talking about, you know, banning 14-year-olds or 15-year-olds from, like, social media, certain books, tattoos, cosmetic surgery, energy drinks, junk food, voting, drinking, all that kind of thing. I don't care about any of that. I just think we should ban teenagers from wearing Nirvana T-shirts and talking to us about the first time they've just recently watched Friends on Netflix. And the reason for that is because it makes me feel old. So that's what I think.
So if you weren't around when Nirvana first hit, you're not allowed to listen to it.
You're not allowed to wear the T-shirt. You can listen to it in the privacy of your own home. This is what I deeply feel.
Okay, what about pre-ripped jeans? Can I put a case for banning pre-ripped jeans in anybody of that age?
Well, I guess that depends what denomination you believe in.
Very good.
I mean, I think that groan was the highest compliment.
What can I say? It's in my jeans. comedians and their love of different types of material.
Oh, I hope you got 501 of these.
I'm going to keep my mouth zipped now.
Oh, buttoned it up.
I wouldn't want it to go to waste.
No. Or flare up.
Ooh, we are bell-bottoming out.
Yeah, I'm panting with, sorry, I don't know what
it, I know. Yeah. I'm distressed. Distressed denim. Anyway, yeah. We're out of stuff. Yeah.
Now, do we worry about the flashback? I think the big argument has always been, with a hard band, you tend to get the
yes.
Yeah.
The backing.
Mm. Yeah.
Like I know that this is works because I banned. I made it a full ban in my household for my children to vacuum. And now they fight over it.
That's got to suck. Sorry. Sorry, it's a bit of a dust.
But this is, to quote from American literature, this is the Tom Sawyer thing, right? If you exactly. charge to paint the fence, people exactly. will queue to do it.
So I think I just don't like the idea whenever we just ban, like you let it go. Like, you know, look at how easily we banned legalized marijuana is an excellent example. So many terrible things happen because we ban it and make it illegal. And then now we've let it go in America, and mostly things are fine.
Oh, well, in some states, they're not. They've got, they've got more road crashes and things like that.
That's because we're terrible drivers.
But
I don't understand causality.
But smoking did ruin my life. I got so addicted to it by the time I was 14, 15. I couldn't stop smoking. It took decades. I used to smoke secretly and tell my wife I'd already given up.
Yeah, it was terrible. But you were smoking when you met Joe Cassidy, weren't you?
Yeah.
Because, and I put this to you evenly,
yeah.
You look cool. I argue that without smoking, you never meet her.
Yeah. And the mystery was why she didn't know that I was still smoking when I was lying about it, because couldn't she smell it? And I think she just thought, because I'd already smoked, she thought I just smelt like that.
Yeah. That's exactly right. That's why I can never give it up.
I remember she had a school friend, and she was married to a guy, and we'd go around there, and he was a gardener, and he was also secretly smoking. And because he was a gardener, he'd planted this very aromatic gum tree just outside the back door so that he could sneak up to the shed, smoke, and then as he's coming through the back door, he'd just pull a little leaf off this gum tree and chew it, and his breath would be fine. And he showed me this gum tree, and there was hardly a leaf on it. The tiny stripped bare.
My grandfather did the same thing, but with a skunk. Right.
I think, I don't think we should have this myth going out to people that smoking is somehow sexy or cool, though, right? Like, because I don't actually think it's sexy for someone to, draw in on a cigarette, blow it out, and then whisper in your ear, "I love you."
The throat cancer mumble. Is that the one? They're going to ban it, and I think it should be the start of many things they ban. Now, Westmead Hospital has urged caution when using two-minute noodles following an upswing.
Ban two-minute noodles!
An upswing in cases of injuries due to the hot water, of course. What are the main domestic dangers you face in your life, Tommy?
I had to just seal shut my knife drawer. Because I just, every time I pulled a knife out, just cut. How stupid am I? Couldn't believe it. Can't even cook anything. Like, I would turn the stove on, and then, like, the gas would ignite, and I'd be like, "What's that?" And I'd touch it. Oh, no! Oh, how stupid am I? I just put my hand in the fire.
Tommy, have
you
been...
The water is boiling. You know how hot that is? It's boiling hot! And I thought, I might just... put my hand in there with the noodles because I'm so stupid.
You've been down at Westmead, haven't you, Tommy?
I just don't understand. There's just a certain level where we have to accept that if life hasn't taught you the basics, you don't deserve it. I mean, don't know how to make it better.
I agree with you to a certain degree. Like, if you have a...
What degree?
The third degree burns.
I do agree with, because, like, if somebody can't make... two-minute noodles. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're down at the hospital because you've burnt yourself making two-minute noodles, they should say, firstly, we are going to treat your injury, but secondly, you are not allowed to vote in the referendum.
And also, doctor, please get away from me.
What are the domestic dangers you face in your house, Will?
So I have a toilet seat that has been...
up all of its life. No, sorry. that's my wife's argument coming to me.
So I have, it's loose, and so it slides from side to side, and it cannot be repaired without fixing the entire toilet. Mm. And the entire toilet, so instead I've been, much like our approach to COVID, I've been learning to live with it. And so it just means that if I sit on the seat, you have to be very careful about it, not sliding too much from one side to the other side, or you might get something caught, and I would make a noise so loud that a camera would go off in New York City.
The funniest thing that's ever been on ABC local radio in the country was in Brisbane about maybe 20 years ago, and they were out at the Ecker, I think, and people were coming up and telling their stories, and this young woman came up with her father, and they sat down and they said, "What's been going on in your life?" the host said, and so, "Oh, we've just had a lot of drama in our life because my father's so old, elderly, he has to sit down under the shower to have a shower, and that's all fine, but he was using this plastic chair, and you know how many plastic chairs have those little slots in them? And it had got caught on the wrong side of the slots." And they had to call in the ambulance and the fire service. And apparently when the fireman came and examined this thing, he said, he obviously had some sense of humour, and he said, "I think we'll need a Kelpie."
I mean, it's very nice that everyone's sitting on plastic chairs in here. Just be careful, please.
That's the slash.
I mean, I love the fact that somebody's testicle has slipped through a plastic chair in the shower, and they've gone, "You know what? We should call the fire brigade."
And then the fire brigade have said, "We should call the Kelpie."
It's also amazing how many things go wrong in the shower.
Yeah.
That's probably the biggest domestic.
Well, it's very difficult to wash the bottom of your feet. Have you tried to wash the bottom of your feet? Because there's various methods. You can use the flamingo, which is... This is the flamingo, right? I stand on one leg and pull the other one up and try to wash that. Or you can use the ostrich, which is when you try to get down like this, like an ostrich with its head in the sand, and try to do this underneath there, but you can't do... Or you can get your head and shove it in the corner of the shower for support, and then try to lift your foot. That is... Whichever way you do it, it's dangerous.
It's like Richard has never heard of a brush with a long handle.
I think what's amazing about the bathroom is we never, ever talk about it, and so, there's no shared information. You don't get to go up to someone at a party and say, "Oh, hello, Lady Veronica, how do you wash your feet?" You know, it's rude to us, so you never get to find it. Shaving's the same.
I do know what you mean about the bathroom thing. So, I may have told this story before, but it is absolutely a true story, because men, when they, at the urinal, the one thing I don't even know if you ever explained this, but you just know that if you're at a urinal with other men, you just, the rule is you look forward, you never look side to side, no matter what happens, you just look forward.
Don't you look forward and slightly up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's no chance. There's only one time that I've ever looked to the side, and I remember exactly where it was. It was a Sydney big day out, and the guy next to me said something that made me look. He was doing his business, and he just said, "Ooh, that's not right." There is no way that you can walk away from that without having a look, right?
He wasn't sitting on a plastic chair at the time. What domestic perils do you face, Jennifer Wong?
I think in my home, I am the hazard, in that I managed to lock myself out of my own home all the time, and I live by myself. A couple of weeks ago, I locked myself out, got the spare key, and then the next day locked the spare key and the regular key in the home, and had to call a locksmith. And the locksmith came, and instead of using a special key kind of situation to open the door, he just stuck a coat hanger up the bottom of the door, and kind of pulled the door handle down from the other side. And I kind of felt like he was simply breaking into my home, and I didn't feel like that really warranted.
You could have also done that yourself, right?
But my coat hanger was also inside the home, so it was a bit difficult. But I think the thing is that I never put things back where they belong, and I need to put things back where they belong. And that, my friends, is the key takeaway from this situation.
I thought as much. Who were the winners? Sorry,
While we're on the topic, 1 minute. The secret to 2 minute noodles is to only cook them for 1 minute. It sounds counterintuitive, but if you stop steaming at 1 minute, then in the time it takes you to move over to the table to enjoy, you are now at 2 minutes, and you will enjoy them at the level they are meant to be enjoyed at. Whereas if you kept them for 2 minutes and then got into them at the third or fourth minute, you'd be like, these are kind of soggy. Think about it.
Who remembers?
Also, don't pour them over yourself.
Do you remember the Dag's Dictionary, which we for years used to do on ABC Radio, and one person set this challenge, which was a great challenge, because a lot of kids don't cook them at all, right? Little kids, they like eating them crisp, so they just, and we wanted to find a name for that person, and it was the no-minute noodler. I thought it was very good. Who were the winners and losers of this week? Tommy Dean.
I thought the big winner was Taylor Swift, again. We talked about it last week, and she came out again. The Kansas City Chiefs played against the New York Jets. Taylor Swift showed up, and because the Jets are such a terrible football team, it was fun to just watch Taylor Swift for 3 hours. Just made it so much fun.
But there's a romance here, right?
There's a romance. Her and Travis Kelce on the Kansas City Chiefs are seemingly in love, and I think they should be left alone to just be fun and in love.
Okay, but aren't people worried that she will ruin his game?
There's something worried his game, but what was even weirder is there's a lot of people that are arguing in a conspiracy theory way that she is only using Travis Kelce to further her popularity. Which I believe is impossible. If your popularity is infinite, there is no more to go.
She's the most popular person on the planet. I mean, I haven't caught up with this relationship, but I look forward to hearing the song about it in 3 months.
Yes.
It'd be a good song to write because it could be all full of football metaphors, couldn't it?
At the moment, I do believe that they're using, aren't they, like, isn't the thing that I heard people complaining that the football commentators are all using Taylor Swift lyrics
all the time
as part of the commentary.
Yeah, and they're weak, and they're kind of inappropriate, and it's old man stuff.
Yeah, they should just leave a blank space, frankly.
Yeah. Just leave him.
Yeah.
Just leave him. So
that was a Taylor Swift
movie. Yeah.
We know, Jennifer.
I didn't want to assume.
It felt like most of the audience didn't know. They're like, we prefer a James Taylor reference rather than a Taylor Swift. He's our Taylor.
So she's a winner, I think. Who was the loser?
The loser is the grand old party, the Republican Party, who ousted the Speaker, Kevin McCarthy, has left the entire nation in chaos and has no idea what they're doing. And then, weirdly, are now talking about maybe making President Trump, President Trump, the Speaker. They're curious, curious people.
And there are only five of them, right? But shouldn't the Democrats have stared them down and said, no, we're going to keep him in. We're not going to have chaos.
They really should have. I don't know what happened. It was a difference of eight. There was the gang.
But I guess
eight.
they like seeing the other side.
I think it's about
fail.
Tearing it down. It's really about tearing it down. I think they're all in a rush to get to the Jets game and see Taylor Swift.
But what happened to the American tradition of the hand across the aisle? You know, there's a famous story about Tip O'Neill from the Democrats and Ronald Reagan, and they used to scream at each other all day about politics, and then every single night they would have a whiskey or something at 5 o'clock. And there's one day when they're really screaming at each other, and Reagan says to Tip, he says, maybe we better make that drink at 4 o'clock today. You know, what happened to that?
That would be. And why didn't they kill Ronald Reagan while they were there? Then maybe we wouldn't be in this mess we're in right now. It all starts there. Go back and read your history.
Jennifer Wong, who are the winners and losers of this week?
Richard, I've actually got two winners this week from the animal world. Researchers in Western Australia have recorded echidnas communicating to each other for the first time. Apparently, the tone that echidnas use with each other is quite prickly. And also, a spotted tail quoll that was thought to be extinct has been spotted in South Australia. Rangers will now keep an eye on this species in a new initiative, which I believe is called quality control.
It's halfway between a gift and a sickness, isn't it? Will Anderson, who were the winners and losers?
Winners, look, here's the thing, Richard. Like, sometimes in this society there's a bit of, like, prejudice against the elderly in regard to employment opportunities. I'm glad to see that is not really the case anymore. And I'm talking about, of course, the AFL pre-match entertainment kiss. A whole bunch of people in their 70s, entertaining people. I just thought that was absolutely fantastic, singing I Want to Rock and Roll All Night at 2:30 in the afternoon. singing Shout It Out Loud, which is what all old people would like you to do so we can hear you. And I, of course, had all those kids dressed as Kiss who were dancing, which was a tribute to all the illegitimate children they've had around the world. So I thought that was absolutely fantastic to have Kiss. Great. They're at an age now, Kiss, that we like to refer to as ABC viewers. So they're the winners and the losers. My parents, who have heard from me twice this week, I normally talk to my parents once per week. Once per week, and if it's more than once per week, it is an emergency. This week it has been twice. It was Monday this week. They live in East Gippsland. They are dairy farmers in East Gippsland. And I rang them on Monday this week because bushfires were about 30 kilometres from their house and I was worried that they were going to caught in the bushfires. So I rang them to see if they was okay. And then yesterday I rang them to see if they were flooded. It has been a big week down there and it turns out I said, are you okay with the floods? And they said, we are. They put out the fires. So now they're just waiting for a cyclone to get rid of the water and
the mice plague to come along. Yeah, and it'll be I reckon the most Australian moment in the last couple of years has been the floods creating the bumper wheat crop and then all the mice coming along to eat the bumper wheat crop and then the snakes coming along to eat the mice and we had a snake plague. And I thought the peak Australia would be to have an owl plague following the snake plague, but that didn't quite happen.
It'll be a hoot, though.
Hey! Please thank Will Anderson, Tommy Dean and Jennifer Wong. Next week, Abby Bolt, James O'Loughlin and Patrick Sunderland. Music from Dom Turner and his Rural Blues Project. Until then, great thanks to our audience here. I'm Richard Glover and thank God it's Friday!